My aunt's little ones are doing a 9-week course. And I mean, I know they're really Olic and stuff, but I just think it's kind of cruel. Because when she says sit, they sit. When she says come, they come. And now, she's teaching them tricks, like party tricks and stuff. I mean, it's exploitation. Come on, I mean, the poor dogs.
The combination meal, inspired by seven colors, is something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up.
This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's talk to our guest this morning. She's popped in. She's a violinist from Stellenbosch. You got your BA already in music technology, is that right?
Yeah. BA music technology, which there is basically like BMuz, but with extra
music
extra
technology.
Credit.
Okay, I want to hear about that in a second. Let me introduce you properly to everybody. Luca Hart is a violinist. By the way, is that your real name?
Yes. Yeah.
God, what a name. That's a perfect musician name. Doesn't that sound right? Luca Hart. Mm. And now the Grammy goes to... Luca Hart.
You Grammy are right. Huh? I sounds don't good. Think I lucked out on the this summer. Name thing. You definitely did.
This is very good. So, Luca, thanks for coming in this morning. You brought your violin with, so we'll have you show off a little bit just now, which is great. What is music technology as opposed to just doing a degree in music, like a normal BA Muzz?
Well, it's a relatively new degree, I think, at Stellenbosch especially. And instead of doing music education as a subject, you do music technology, which is recording, learning about the scientific aspects of music. So you go into the very like waveform thingy-majiggies.
Right, you talk about
amplitude,
and
wavelength. Things I've forgotten, but can do somehow.
Because each note has a different amplitude and wavelength.
Exactly, and you learn all about acoustics and reverb and how concert halls work and how's the best way to record them and record instruments. And so you also get 3 years that you can use the recording studio to play around with, which
that
was
must be amazing.
Yeah.
And then you obviously learn about the equipment that you would use to make those recordings, to manipulate sound, to create new sounds.
Yeah, especially.
So that's like science. That's
it's
fantastic.
Science. Production, recording, it's everything put together. Yeah.
All right, and with your own instrument, did you grow up with an interest in music? Have you just got a natural talent? I believe you composed music at a young age.
Yeah. Well, both my parents are music lovers. They didn't do any instruments, but I think I was like the little, I don't know, composer that popped out. There's footage of me like running around the room composing to orchestral recordings in the living room and jumping around. So I think it's something inside me, that wants to be a composer and a conductor and everything.
I'm always curious about people who want to play the violin because it's difficult, first of all. Mm. It's a harder instrument to be able to popularize, if you'd like me to be as vulgar as possible about this, because most people go for the guitar or the keyboard or anything else. The violin, to some people, is a restrictive instrument. Mm. It limits you to either doing classical stuff or being
a teacher
or being like a gimmick, you know, in a song. People are like, oh, look, there's, you know, like the sax has become something that people will play along with like EDM music. Mm, you've got bands all over the world who are popularizing that kind of thing. I imagine it's going that way for the violin too. And there are lots of musicians who use violinists in their stuff. And it's a beautiful instrument. Don't get me wrong. I have no criticism. In fact, I admire people who want to play the violin.
Have you tried playing it?
Are you kidding? What, are you insane? Are
I
you
think
high?
You should.
What's wrong with you?
That's why I brought it up.
No.
We're going to have a lesson.
So what made you choose the violin?
Actually, I have no idea. It must have been when I was quite young. Maybe I watched a show and I heard a violin, or I watched somebody playing the violin and that just spoke to me, I guess.
So when did you get your first violin?
When I was 8.
Jeez.
Yeah, which is actually quite late for violins. You get them usually starting at like 4 or 5, starting the violin. They can barely hold the little instrument.
Wow.
But I'm actually glad I
started. So you were like a late starter by violin
standards. Yeah, I was a late bloomer. Late musical bloomer.
This instrument has a very interesting history. Obviously, there are violins in the world that are the most expensive instruments ever sold.
Jeez.
Those Stradivarius violins that are 400 years old?
Yeah.
300 or 400 years old? And it's the wood.
It's the wood.
It's the ancient wood that they use that makes it such an expensive thing, right?
Yeah, it's also the technique, the way they build it. I mean, this violin is 300 years old.
That
it's
one
not
is.
Not a Stradivarius.
Good
this is
God.
Just, this was built in Bohemia somewhere by a craftsman, you know, somewhere in Ostaliki.
Yeah.
On the side of the road. It's 300 years old and I like it. And it's...
So what is it about the sound of a violin? Because it doesn't... exactly hit the note. Like when you pluck a string or when you hit a note on a keyboard, it's exactly that note. With a violin, correct, you have a little bit of, yes, of the sharp and the flat that, exactly, comes in too, right?
Exactly. And that's what makes it so hard to play and to play in tune from the very beginning.
Because you can easily go off tune.
Completely. We have like a range of... You have so much range, so you have to teach your fingers to put your finger in the exact same place every single time for years and years and years.
So how much practice goes into this?
10,000 hours, of course.
Oh, yeah. To be a master, that's what Gladwell tells us. You need 10,000 hours, but hours. You must have spent more than that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how much it's like...
I mean, how long 3 hours do you play every day?
Now I mostly compose, so it's more, yeah, of a creative thing when I pick up my violin. But at school and at varsity, it was easily 3-4 hours a day.
Three
sometimes
or four
five.
Hours a day? Yeah. Did that drive your family mad?
I don't know. Maybe they've suppressed it.
You've never asked them?
I've never asked
Never said to Mom, Dad, I'm sorry for putting you through pain for so many years.
I teach now, so I think I'm getting it back at me.
Okay, so how young are your youngest students?
Four.
What?
Unfortunately.
Can you identify talent?
I hope they're not listening now, the parents.
Can you identify talent at four?
You can identify musical interest, definitely. A kid that can sing at four is definitely like their ears are tuned better than one that can't even, you know, try and hold a note.
Mm. Mm. You play in an orchestra sometimes?
I did, but too many hours.
Yeah, that's hard because everybody has to dedicate a large chunk of their time, yeah, and you have to play together because there's no point in playing separately.
Well, playing together is lovely, but it's about sitting for 3 hour rehearsals and holding your violin. Holding your violin is already the most unnatural position in the world. It's like permanently having a neck brace to the left.
Does your neck hurt? Do you sleep on a certain side?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you?
Maybe, yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? Ever been to like a physiotherapist and said, Am I not aligned?
Yeah, they just send me away and say, I can't help you. It's going to cost you millions.
Because obviously, this, as you say, it's an unnatural position. Completely. Your chin has to rest on the violin. It's part of what makes it sound the way it does.
Yeah.
And what are you looking at? The music in front of you?
If you're reading from music, yeah. Otherwise, you just go inside yourself while you're playing.
Because if you look down at that's going to give you like skill work as well, right?
Skill work as well. Yeah, and in the orchestra, when you're sitting, it's like also rigid. So, and then you have to have one skill work on the conductor and one work on the
music.
That's terrible.
It's only got four strings.
Yes.
Some people think that's quite rudimentary. You get 6 and 8 string guitars.
Yeah, fancy.
Yeah.
But it's about what you can do with four strings.
That's right. And that bow, what is that made of?
This bow is horse hair, of course.
The actual
hair, yeah. They've bleached horse hair. I hope it was horses that died because of old age.
Yeah, not ones that were, grown for violinists to be harvesting them.
Let's not go there.
All right, so how do you compose on a violin? Is it like composing on a guitar or a keyboard?
You can. So sometimes I hold my violin like a guitar, and mm-hmm. then I can play cool things on it. And you can play chords. Whatever, and then you sing over that. Otherwise, you just play... long notes like you would play an actual violin.
All right, let's go. It's so funny when you do that I can't help hearing the word fiddle in my head. Because what is the difference here? I'm Philistine when it comes to this stuff, so... When I hear a classical song and I hear the violins mm-hmm. going da 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 or whatever, mm-hmm. I can hear that's a violin.
Mm.
But when you play like that, is it a fiddle? What is that?
I have no idea. I think fiddling is a term that's used for a specific technique in a certain country where they really fiddle. I think they go like absolutely crazy. Almost like an Irish jiggy, whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. I stand to correction. People listening might be like, that is not fiddling.
No, it's okay.
But I would maybe, as a soloist, if you play on your own, you sort of develop a fiddling technique rather than a classical technique, because you constantly have to accompany yourself as well.
You know, Sia, that the first violin is the leader of the orchestra. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they're in charge.
Basically, I'm not classy enough. I don't know any of this.
The most important thing that happens.
Maybe you'll look classy.
Yeah, hold the violin, Sia.
Understand. We'll take an Instagram.
The most important communication in the orchestra is between the first violin and the conductor.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, between every single person.
Is that just traditional, or is it because that's an important role that has to be?
That is an important role because they essentially sort of drive the rest of the players. If something goes wrong, people can look at that person and say.
Okay.
And you also often follow the bow movement of the first violinist to know that you're in place. So if you miss your mark, you just keep bowing the same bow and pretend you're playing.
So when they go up, you go up. When they go down, you go down.
When there's a tricky part.
Sure.
But yeah, every single player needs to look at the conductor. If you're doing it right, you have to memorize your music. You have to be looking at every single cue.
So you mentioned that this violin that you've got here now is 300 years old. So when did you get this, and was it like a thing that you always wanted? Was it something that you'd been saving up for a long time? What's the story behind it?
It sort of fell into my lap through my grandfather. He went to a farm in the Karoo, as he does, and finds things.
Yeah.
And he met a farmer or a boer and found this old violin at the bottom of a chest.
Wow. Did you have to have it refurbished?
Yes, he took it home and had it a little bit worked on and then passed it on to me.
That must be pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
To be playing something 300 years old. Most people don't even have anything in their house that's 300 years old. You know?
Yeah.
That's like the 1700s.
It is pretty awesome.
Okay, yeah. So you play something for us. Show off a little bit.
Okay.
Give us something original, if you'd like, and then something that we might be familiar with. And let's just have some fun.
Can I sing you something?
Of course you can.
Cool. I'm just going to play a little part of a song that's called Rapunzel. It's about feminism.
Oh, all right.
All the king's horses and all the king's men have tried for years to bring her down again. She cannot be bought by all of the land, for she holds the world in the palm of her hand. The princess is a vision, her beauty untamed. She puts all the ladies of the kingdom to shame. But what makes her unique, what makes the men drool, is her plan to take over and rule. One by one they climb the tower, but at the top she has the power. One by one they climb the tower, they all will lose, they all will lose, they all will lose as she cuts them loose. As she cuts them loose.
Wow.
There you go.
You're playing the violin like a guitar. I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You wrote that, you composed the lyrics, you did everything.
Yeah.
So, what do people think? Are there purists who say to you shouldn't do that with a violin?
Probably. But they are purists for a reason.
Yeah. And do you play other instruments?
I play the violin. The piano, the mandolin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The mandolin I have, because it's tuned exactly like a violin.
Yes.
It's a little bit more like a guitar, so I can actually strum it properly without hurting the violin. So I use that when I have to strum and all do all like the, chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka things.
What's more complicated to play among the string instruments?
Among all the string instruments?
Mm. What do you think the most complicated? I mean, the harp, they say, is impossible.
Cheapest. Yeah, well, that's...
Because you have the
next level.
The two layers of strings going in opposite directions, right? Yeah, so someone who plays the harp has to almost have a brain that's working both sides at the same time.
Freaky brain. Yeah. Well, I would put violin right up there of the string instruments, but all string instruments are essentially hard because of that pitching thing.
Mm.
Because you can't just put your finger on a note.
Yeah. You have to find that note.
Yeah.
So you have obviously got a musical ear in that you can hear when the note is in the right place.
Yeah,
does it offend you when you hear in a song that someone is flat or sharp?
It depends what song. I mean, radio, yes.
Yeah.
Because they have all the technologies to make it not flat. And also, if somebody is at that point where they record in studio, you want them to sing properly.
Get it right. Auto-tune.
Or do it 10 times until it's right.
Can you hear a note and identify it immediately?
I can only find A, which is my violin note, just because I've tuned it for millions and millions of years.
So can you sing an A?
I think that's close. No. Off today. It's too early.
Okay.
I blame it on the time.
All right. But you think of a song and you think of where that song starts and that's the note.
Mm.
So it's not like you've just got, you're pulling the waveform out of the air and your ear is analyzing it. You're going, oh, that's an A.
No. Sometimes. No. Sometimes if I'm really in the zone already playing music for a few hours, then they're all there.
That's a very cool song, that Rapunzel.
Thank you.
Are you a feminist?
Not an extreme feminist.
No, but
just
I mean,
just a normal, yes, healthy dose of...
Nothing wrong with that.
Healthy dose of standing up.
We don't have a problem here with that, do we?
Of course not.
Mubs, yeah. Ben.
What's that?
What about when it comes to playing kind of songs that people know? Is there pressure on your side to either do it differently or to stick to the original and deliver exactly what they're expecting to hear?
There's always pressure, but I still believe a cover song is only a cover song if you do it differently. And if you bring something new to the audience, I mean, they can go listen to the recording if they want to. But if you bring something else, and especially if you could make it better, either by changing the atmosphere completely, like taking a really kiff song, mm-hmm, taking the lyrics, which are actually very sad, turning it into a sad song, and you bring out the meaning of the lyrics, and people are like, oh my word, that's what the song is about.
Wow.
So that's a cool
that could involve changing tempo, it could involve
exactly
changing a starting note even, it could involve reassigning the arrangement, yeah, of the instruments. Okay.
So for example, at first I was afraid, I was petrified, never could I live without you by my side. And I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. But I grew strong. Walk on now, out the door, don't turn around. You're not welcome anymore. You were the one who broke me with goodbye. Where do you think I lay down and die?
Wow.
Etc.
You changed that up.
Yeah, so that's a freaking sad song.
Sia was about to do a disco dance and now he suddenly changed.
I needed to break up the shoulder pads for that.
Yeah, so that's completely different. But
play something that we would expect to hear a violinist be able to play.
Oh, like a super classical thing?
Yeah.
Well, are you feeling in the mood for gypsy or very classical?
Like, go very and then we'll pull back to gypsy. Come on, we got time. We can do both.
Oh, my hands are shaking.
No, don't be. What for? You nervous? This is the instrument you've been holding since you were like eight, nine years old.
I'm ramping up my vibrato technique.
Okay, go on. That's so magnificent. What piece is that again?
That's Meditation from Ties by Massenet.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
All right, so now the gypsy stuff, what do you mean by that? That's more like what I was saying earlier about when you're almost like fiddling, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's kind of happy and cheerful and
yeah,
you kind of imagine nomads in Europe.
Nomads, like
caravans.
Standing
and stuff.
Into the road and begging, you know,
yeah,
for some coins.
With like a duck on their head.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. And
are you going to throw coins
doing
at me
tarot
afterwards?
Cards, yeah. All right, let's go. Let's hear this. Sarabande, right?
Chavez. Okay.
Fantastic. Wow. Is it harder to play sort of cold when you haven't warmed up?
For sure. I'm sitting in a bloody sofa here.
We could have made you stand.
Oh, I'm kidding.
So you have to warm up.
Yeah.
You can't just go straight into it.
Yeah.
You just have that instrument. It's almost organic, the instrument in your hands. It's like an extension of you.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that how you know that you've got to a stage where you and your violin...
Definitely. There were stages where I didn't enjoy practicing because it was, I think, varsity and it takes the soul out of the playing. And only years after that, when I picked up my violin, it was about the violin and me. It's like we have a relationship. This is my biggest love. When I pick it up, I can deal with
stuff. Will you ever love a human as much as you love your violin?
Maybe it's a good thing not to.
Yeah, a violin's not going to hurt you, right?
It's not going to run away, right?
All right, so you've written a bunch of songs, you've actually released music, and you produce music, and you do a lot of gigs all over the country.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's some of the interesting stuff you've done collaboration-wise?
Ooh, live performance-wise, I've performed with Crimson House, they're a very cool gypsy jungle band.
Yeah.
Performed with Gerald Clark, performed with Arno Carstens, which is amazing. Kirsten Bosch, you know, New Year's concert, that was pretty awesome.
That's nice. This year?
2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm always collaborating with whoever needs a violinist and a cool violin solo on stage. They get me to play for them.
And can people come and see you? Are you doing any gigs that we need to know about in the next while?
Well, in my personal capacity, I haven't organized the next one. I'm still deciding what's the best platform for the next one.
Said, you're teaching, you're studying, you're doing all of this stuff at the same time.
But I am performing with Crimson House at Up the Creek, which is end of
this month. Oh, cool. Yeah, that's good.
That should be fun.
And tell me about the song Ebb and Flow.
Ooh. So that's the title track of my album, my debut album, which has 5 tracks on. And that was the first song I started experimenting putting production to the violin. So making a electronic backtrack of sorts.
Wow.
On a theme, a violin theme that I composed. And really starting from the bottom. So putting the theme in Logic Pro, which is a recording program, and then deciding what instruments to put under that, what electronic sounds, what drum samples, everything. Ended up with Ebb and Flow.
You're kind of like those producer DJs.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is so cool that you take something that's old and you figure it into something that's new and create something that's unique.
Mm.
Brilliant. Well, I'm very happy to meet you and thanks for coming in to spend some time with us.
Yeah, lovely to be here.
And I hope we'll see you again soon and people can find out more social media. You're on there.
Absolutely everywhere. Instagram, you can download and buy all the music on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play.
Yeah, if you want to hear it, I'm going to play Ebb and Flow for you now so you can get a feel for this.
Awesome.
Then we're going to come back, wrap it up with the news, and head over to our interview with Nonhle Tema. All of that's coming up. So thank you so much for coming in to see us, Luca.
Thank you.
Luca Hart, everybody. How do I find you on Twitter or Instagram?
Just Luca Hart or Luca Hart Music.
Brilliant. What a name. I'm telling you, this is destined for Grammys.
This is CliffCentral.com.